This week's shiur, Parshas Chukas, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzchak Rav Chaim. The Sedra features the well-known sin, if you like to call it that, of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, which, according to most Mefarshim, was the reason why they were not let to come into Eretz Yisrael. And that is the sin of Mei Meriva, when the people complained they wanted water, and Moshe took the water from the rock. And there's a whole discussion in the Perforshim, the Rishonim already, what in fact was Moshe's sin. As a whole machloikis in that. The most famous Perush, if you ask your average person on the street, you know, what did they do wrong? So they'll say, well, because they hit the rock, or Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So that, in fact, is one of the Perushim, and that's the Perush of Rashi. Rashi says, in Dibur Maskul, like Disheni, She'ilu Dibartim Elasela, says, Hashem got angry and said to Moshe and Aaron that, you didn't mekadesh me. In other words, if you would have spoken to the rock, botzi, and take out the water, hayiti mitkadesh, mekudash, lenei aida, would be holy to the people. The people would make a kal vachomer and said, look at the sela, she'eino medaber, ve'eino shomea, ve'eino tzarich leparnasa, it doesn't speak, it doesn't hear, it doesn't need parnasa, and still it listens to the diburo shel makom, Hashem's will. So kal vachomer, I knew we should. People would take a lesson, but now they're not going to do that because they didn't, you didn't speak to the rock. So that's, we said, Rashi Shita. However, if you, go back a little bit and see the series of events, as it were, that Rashi brings down, which led to this. It's actually a pella. It's not so simple. You know, oh yeah, he hit the rocks. He's speaking to it. What do I mean? So Rashi says, and earlier on Dibur Maskul Hamina Sela Zenotzi, that what happened over here? It says again, Vikalu Moshe Aaron Alka. He got everybody together and Balpnei Sela in front of the rock. And he said, Shimon Amori, listen, you rebels, Hamina Sela Zenotzi Lechem, am I going to take water out of this rock? Meaning what? So Rashi explains, Lefishalo Hayu Makirinoto. The rock that they used to get water from was the Be'er Shel Miriam. That was the Bitzchus of Miriam. They had this constant water flow from this rock. But now Miriam had died and the water stopped. And that's why they complained. They go, hey, I have no more water anymore. So Rashi says, what happened? That rock, the Be'er Shel Miriam, after the water ceased to come out, mixed and went amongst the other rocks, it got lost. So he didn't know where it was anymore, which was the Be'er Shel Miriam. Lefish halach hasel av yashav lo bein haslaim, kishenistalek v'be'er, right? Once that the water stopped, the rock mixed up with the other rocks. Vayu Yisrael omrim lahem, Malachem me'eza sela totzi lanu mayim. So when Moshe was, you know, looking for the rock to give them, you know, water again, the people were saying, what's the difference? What rock? Who cares? This rock, that rock. What's the difference? This, you know, it's Ratz and Hashem, should have water from the rock. So you have water from a rock. Why are you going looking around for which rock? L'kacha malachem hamorim. So therefore, what a Moshe Rabbeinu, he called the Morim. Shimuna Amorim. Listen, you Morim. What's Morim? Either Sarvanim, like rebels or whatever. Lashon Yavani says Rashi Shotim. Like you fools, you idiots. Right? Morim es Morim. You're trying to rule over your leaders. Hamina Sela Hazesh Shaloni Stavinu Lav Notzin Lechemayim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu. Hamina Sela Hazesh Notzin Lechemayim. Meaning, what are you saying? How can I take out a rock that's not the right rock? He was saying, what's the difference where rock you take it out? I have to take it out from the right rock. So I'm looking for which rock it is. And therefore, he got angry at them and says, you fools, what do you mean? Hamina Sela, Zenotzin Lechemayim. Am I going to take water out of not the correct rock? There is a proper rock over here where the water has to come out from, and that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So then, next pasuk, Vayarad Moshe es yado, he lift up his hand, Vayachez asela, and he hit the rock, but Mateo with his rod, Pamaim twice, Vayitzi maim rabim, and a lot of water came out and they drank. So says Rashi, first of all, twice. Why twice? Lefisha birishana lohotzi eletipin. Because first, when he hit it the first time, only a few drops came out, said Rashi. The flow didn't come out. It wasn't enough to, you know, give water for the people. It was only a few drops. Why only a few drops? Lefisha lotzi v'amakom lakoso elavidibartem elasela. Because they, like we said before, they were not supposed to hit the rock. They were supposed to only speak to it. Now listen to this. Veheima dibru elas el sela acher velohotzi pela. Says Rashi, they did speak. They did speak. They, Rosh and Aaron spoke to the rock, but no water came out. Why? Because it was not the correct rock. And they spoke to the rock, but it didn't come out because it was not the right rock. So what happened? Amru, shemet zorich lakoso kabirishonah. So then Moshe and Aaron started making a cheshbon. They said, wait a second. Hashem told us to speak to the rock, and it didn't work. You know, he said, water, water, come out of this rock. You know, nothing happened. So it didn't work. So they said, hey, now what? So they made a cheshbon. Well, probably we have to hit it. Now, why would they think that? In the end of parts of Bishalach, we also, they had no water. Hashem told Moshe to take his staff and hit the rock. He told him to hit the rock over there, and he did, and water came. So Moshe said, well, Hashem told me here also to take my staff. And he said to speak to the rock, but I spoke and nothing happened. So, I don't know, maybe we were supposed to hit it like we did last time. So he hit it. What happened? V'niz the men lehem oto sela v'ikau. So then he was going to hit it. He hit it, but at that point Hashem arranged that the real rock got under his staff. He hit the real one, and the water came out. Two questions. First of all, according to Rashi's parish, it opens up a whole new vistas over here. You know, we always say, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, big sin, you know, he should have spoke to the rock, he didn't, he hit it, you know, of course he deserves to be punished. But it comes out that he did speak to the rock. He spoke, right? He didn't know which it was. He, you know, lost the real rock. He thought this was it or whatever. And he spoke to it. So what was he punished? You didn't speak to the rock because of that. I'm going to punish you. But he did. He spoke. It's just that it wasn't the right one. Okay? And then, okay, nothing came out. And so what he supposed to do? So he made a chen, I guess. He's supposed to hit it. Okay, what else do you want him to do? It didn't work. Question number one. Question number two. Why didn't Hashem arrange it the first time? In other words, he spoke to the rock, but it was the wrong rock, right? Nothing came out, therefore. So then when he hit it, Hashem made the real rock go under his staff, and he hit the real rock and the water came out. Why didn't Hashem arrange it? The real rock should be there when he spoke to it the first time. Then everything would have been good. He spoke to it. If the real rock would have been there, the water would have come out, everything would have been good. It didn't come out, it was the wrong rock. So Hashem should have put the real rock in front of him. Why did Hashem only put the real rock after he spoke, when he was going to hit it, and when he hit it? He should have spoken and put it there originally. Be like playing. So I was thinking to answer the question based on an idea one saw from the Ben Ish Chai. And so he brings on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, "V'diglo alai ahava." And the Midrash darshens out that don't read a diglo as in degel, but dilugo, as in skipping, as we'll explain. He says, he brings this maisa from Midrash, that there was once a guy that he was walking in the desert. He was walking along the desert, and it was hot, and he was tired, and he just couldn't anymore. He needed a ride, you know, he couldn't walk anymore, he was too exhausted. So, he was, you know, tired and walking, and Mamish couldn't anymore. So all of a sudden, he hears this noise, and he hears, oh, see something coming in the distance. Meanwhile, he davens to Hashem, he says, Hashem, please bring me a donkey. I need a donkey, you know, because he figured, hey, people coming, maybe he needs a donkey to ride on, you know. He says, Hashem, please, please give me a donkey. So this group approaches. It was like some chashev, a minister, whatever. And the minister's traveling, and there's this donkey, a big mother donkey, and behind it, like a baby donkey walking. So the minister looks at this yid walking there, and he says, hey, come over here for a second. So he's like, oh, good, you know, maybe it's my tefillahs are answered. So he calls him over, and he says, you see that baby donkey over there? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, it's having trouble walking, so I want you to put it on your back and take a walk with us. So he says, I davened for a donkey, and I got a donkey, but instead of having a donkey to ride on, I had a donkey to ride on me. He says, that's not what I wanted. So Ben Ish Chai brings out, we see that how a person, when he's davening, he has to be careful what he says. You know, give me a donkey. He got a donkey. You have to be careful and articulate, explain exactly what you mean. Don't just say, you know. So he said, that's on the one. On the other hand, sometimes we see the opposite. He brings another maysa, that there was once an Amaretz, that he didn't know how to read, write, nothing. And he used to go to shul, because he was supposed to go to shul, but he couldn't, you know, he didn't even hold a sitter in his hand, because he couldn't read it. And he didn't understand it, he couldn't read it, you know, but he go with the shul, and he just listened, he answered amen to the brachas and stuff, and that's it, you know, it's all the best he can do. Okay. So, he was listening in shul, and there the chazan was singing, and he got to this part in the Korbanos of Ezeu Mekoman Shelzvachim, and he got to the words Elu ve'elu nisrafim bebeis hadeshen, right? And these, meaning the parim v'sirim ha'nisrafim, are burnt outside Yerushalayim. So Elu ve'elu nisrafim bebeis hadeshen. And somehow, I don't know, the chazan really got into these words, and he with you know, his operatic voice, and you know, and it really made an impression on this guy. He goes, wow. And so those words, you know, like, stayed in his head, you know, stuck in his head. Elu ve'elu nisrafim, these are burnt in a... But he didn't know, understand what these words mean. You know, he just heard the words, and he loved the song that the chazan put to these words. Anyway, so he decided that Leil Shabbos is going to start a new minhag. He's going to give his kids a bracha using these words. So he calls his two sons over, puts his hands on their head Friday night, and he says, Elu ve'elu nisrafim be'beis hadashen. Which basically means these two kids should burn, right? But he didn't know what he was saying. He just says, okay. Anyways, one Friday night, he had a Talmud Chacham happened to be visiting him for Friday night. So, you know, sing Shalom Aleichem, whatever, Yesh Eschayel, and he calls his kids over, you know, he puts his hands on their head, and says, Elu ve'elu nisrafim be'beis hadeshen. Anyway, Talmud Chacham says, what are you doing? Are you crazy? He goes, what's wrong? I thought it's a nice bracha. Yeah. It's not a nice bracha, you know what you're saying, you're doing, you don't want your kids to burn, what are you, heck, you thought about it? Okay, you know, he was embarrassed, didn't realize, okay, I didn't know what I was saying, and meanwhile, what happened? That Talmud Chacham had a dream, and it came in that dream, it was spoken to from Shemaim, and said what you did was not right. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took those words, which aren't such great words, but since his kavanas were sincere, he really, you know, wanted to do the right thing. But Hashem, the lugo, he was medaleg, and he skipped over these words, and made these words what were bad words, and he made them into a bracha. So he said, you shouldn't have bothered him. He did it sincerely, and Hashem took these words, which were bad, and he made them into a bracha. So we see, pretty much the opposite. Okay, as we said before. So the person has to, sometimes, you know, he has to be clear. He's not clear a little bit, it's already no good. You know, he asked for the donkey, and he got a donkey on his back. Whereas here we see, the opposite, he totally messed up on the words, but yet, Hashem turned it into a bracha. Agav says, last Meiser reminds me of another Meiser, that there was a family from Portugal during the Inquisitions that they came to Eretz Yisrael and they settled in Sfas. It was in the time of the Arizal. And again, a case of a very, you know, like simpletons, Amaratzim, you know, you didn't know too much, know how to read, write, whatever. Simple Yidden. Anyway, this Yid was used to go to the Rav Shir. And once the Rav was speaking about the Lechem Apanim. right? That every Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash they put these 12 loaves in the Shulchan, in the Azar, etc. And the as the Rav was speaking, you know, explain exactly how it was done. They used to sift it, you know, 13 times, and et cetera, and go through the whole thing. And then the Rav afterwards, like saying, oh, you know, he like groaned and said, you know, it's what a chaval that, you know, nowadays we don't have the Mikdash, we can't do this anymore, we don't have the Lechem Apanim, and oh, you know, halavai, we should be Zocha. Anyways, it made a very big impression on this Yid. And he came home, he was thinking about it the whole time, and he says to his wife, you know what? I think we should do something. You know, Hashem really wants these lechem upon him, but it's all based on Migdash. So, we gotta do something. His wife said, what do you have in mind? So he says, well, why don't we make our own, like, lechem upon him, and get an offer to Hashem? He says, what do you mean? So he says, let's make it, you know, nice, these nice two beautiful challahs, and I'll take it to Shul and give it to Hashem. So, for Shabbos. So fine. So Friday, Erev Shabbos, she makes these two beautiful, you know, loaves of challah, and they're nice and they're warm and, you know, fresh smelling. And the Yid went to the shul, and, you know, it was in the morning, nobody was there, you know, middle of the day. And he goes, sneaks into the shul, he puts it down in front of the Aron. And the Aron cut his two loaves. Okay, and he leaves. And he says, you know, Hashem, you know, this is our sacrifice to you, that, you know, we're no lechem panim today, and, you know, okay, and he leaves. Meanwhile, the shamish, you know, comes in to arrange the shul for Shabbos, you know, Friday afternoon, and, you know, get ready, things, you know, clearing up a little bit, and he smells, he goes, wow, it smells like freshly baked challahs in here. He's looking around, snooping around, and sure enough, he sees in front of the Aron these two challahs. So he says, wonder where these came from. Well, I guess they must be hefker. I mean, nobody's going to leave these, you know, put these challahs here to pick them up later. I mean, they're obviously forgot. There's somebody, whatever. Obviously hefker. So, might as well take them home for my wife. I have a nice challahs for Shabbos. Fine. So, he takes the challahs home for Shabbos. Meanwhile, our Yid over here comes to, you know, shul, you know, Leil Shabbos for Kabbal Shabbos, whatever, and he looks by the Aron, and they're gone. He goes, oh, Hashem accepted our sacrifice. Took our challahs. Baruch Hashem. So he said, comes home, tells his wife, it worked. Let's do it again. Next Friday, same thing, bakes these challahs, puts them down by the yard. The shamish walks into the shul in the afternoon. Smells good in here. Oh, it might be the challahs again. Goes in front of the yard, sees the challahs, takes them. And this goes on for, you know, a few weeks. Meanwhile, one Erev Shabbos, again, he's brings the challahs, puts them down, but this time he didn't realize that the Rav was standing there. And he didn't notice him, and the Rav sees how he puts down these challahs, says, Hashem, this is a sacrifice to you, whatever. So he said, what? So he gets up, he turns to this guy, and he said, and, you know, the guy got shocked, and the Rav was standing there, and he says, the Rav says, what are you doing? I'm a haritzu. What are you doing? You put your challahs. What are you put your challahs in? You don't put challahs in. That's a sacrifice to Hashem. We know. And he starts screaming. He goes, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. And he goes, you don't do these things. What are you? He starts screaming at him. And he says, they were gone. Hashem took them. He says, what do you mean Hashem took them? Probably the shamish took them. Hashem took them. Hashem didn't take them. I mean, the shamish took them. What are you doing? So sure enough, you know, a minute later, the shamish walks in, you know, good, goes out to the chal, he bends down to take him, doesn't realize, you know, the rav and the other guy are here, and then the rav catches him red-handed, he says, what are you doing? He says, you're taking these chalas, you have to thank this guy, this guy's, you know, giving your chalas every week for Shabbos, and anyway, the kids are a big balagan. The Yid left, you know, totally avel b'chafui rosh, you know, totally embarrassed and what happened. He didn't realize that, you know, he apologized and he left. Anyways, here too, the Arizal, okay, he, Baruch HaKodesh, you know, saw what happened. He called over the rabbi and he said, go home and give your last tzivui to your family because you're a ben mavis, you're going to die. So he says, why? He says, because you've no idea that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem had no greater nachas than these two challahs that this year put down every year of Shabbos by the thing. And because of you, that's it, it's finished. Right? He's not doing it anymore, obviously. Right? He took it away. He said, Hashem had no greater nachas than these two challahs that this kid, this year put. And because of you, you stopped that. So you're a Ben Mavis. And sure enough, he went home and, you know, gave his last savant and he was nifta. So, once again, he's doing what he thought betmimis, and here Hashem arranged it. It wasn't the right thing. Of course, you don't do these things, but he did it out of total innocently and doing it betmimistically, and Hashem made it work. That this was something pleasing to Hashem. Similarly, there's another maisa. There was once a baby that was born, and the baby had a problem, couldn't stop crying. Crying day and night, day and night, day and night. It almost killed the parents. I mean, imagine they couldn't sleep a wink. The baby just didn't, whatever they tried, the pacifier, the bottle, schnapps, whatever it might be, nothing worked. The kid would not stop crying. They called the doctors, they called the school or that school or whatever. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. So the parents, totally beside themselves, one day the mother was going for a walk in the park, and she happens to see on the ground a piece of paper. She gets closer, and she sees it was like a page from the Chumash. Now again, also this woman was totally illiterate. She didn't read, write, or anything, didn't Hebrew for sure not. She didn't, but she knew it was a page from the Chumash. That much she can tell. What it said, she didn't know. But she picked up the page, and she said, okay, I have to put it in Geniza, whatever. But she said, you know what? Maybe this page was sent from Shemayim, a piece of the Torah. So maybe this is the the answer to our tzaras. And she went home, and she said a little tefillah again to Kosh Baruch Hu, and said, Hashem, please help the matzav, and may this be the Yeshua for us. And she took this page of Chumash and stuck it under the baby's head, like under the pillow, whatever. Lo and behold, for the first time after a month, the baby fell into a deep sleep. It's unbelievable. And that hadn't happened. He has been crying nonstop. First time, stop crying. So she said, Baruch Hashem, it worked. So the husband comes home, later, and he's like, with his earplugs in, okay, he's ready for opening the door. Quiet. So what's going on? So he goes over, sees the baby in the crib, sleeping peacefully. So he's so shocked. He goes to the wife. He goes, "What did you do? You found another schooler. You found a doctor. You found a this and that. What happened? What happened?" So she says, "I'll tell you what happened. I told him the story. I found this piece of a page of Chumash and I stuck it under that." He goes, "Really?" He says, "Let me see that." So he puts his hand under the pillow, pulls out the piece of in a page from the Chumash, and he reads, and he turns white. She says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Do you realize what this is?" He says, "No." He says, "This is a page from the Tochacha. These are the klalas. You put a klalas underneath the pillow of our kid." Okay. But Lamaisa worked. So, here are examples. We said a number of examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things work. People do things out of the sincerity of their heart. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things work. So, we saw both, right? We saw on the one hand, says the Ben Ishchai, how you have to be careful exactly what you say, what you do, whatever, it's not going to work. And yet we see people doing things, but it's only backwards, but it works. So he says, what's the difference? So he said that when is it that when you speak, even if you say things that are wrong, whatever, Hashem makes the words work, like Elu Ve'elu Nisrafim Be'ez HaDeshen, means that it worked. Whereas the guy said about the Chamor, and it didn't work. So he says, it depends on the person. The person is careful with his what he says, is careful with his mouth, careful with his how he what's coming out of his mouth. Then even if he says things which are not exactly thing, Hashem will make it work and it'll turn into a bracha. Elu ve'elu nisrafim beis hamikdash. However, if a person is not careful with his mouth normally, then when he says things, Hashem will be medayek. Oh, you didn't say it right, you didn't say it correctly, and then it won't come out for the guy. So I was thinking if we're using this idea to answer our questions. Right, Bekitzer, we basically had two questions on the Maisa with Moshe Rabbeinu, and we said, why was Moshe punished? After all, he did what he was told. He was told to speak to the rock, and he did. Is this that happened to be the wrong one? And so what? Why should he be punished? Second of all, we asked, why did Hashem put the real rock in front of him when he hit it? He should have put the real rock there for when he spoke. He did speak to him. Hashem should have had the real rock go in front of him when he spoke, not later on when he hit it. So thinking, using this idea, that we mentioned before, the first thing, what happened right at the beginning, before Moshe spoke to the rock, hit the rock, before this, right, he was looking for the rock, as we mentioned before, and the people said, what's the difference, what rock you take, hey Moshe Rabbeinu? So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He got angry, and he said, Shimu na Hamorim, you fools, you rebels, whatever, you know what, I can take it on any rock. So that was a no-no. And in fact, there are some Rishonim which say they say that was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not that the rock, his sin was the way he spoke to Klal Yisrael. He shouldn't have called them Morim, Shimuna Hamorim. He shouldn't have spoken such a degrading lashon. But some say that in fact. But we're gonna add to that a little bit. That was incorrect. And like we said before, from the Chazon Ish, that if a person speaks not properly, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring bracha to his words. And then things don't work out 100%. So Mimele, first thing, when he was looking for the rock, he said, hey, what's the difference, Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, Shimu na Amori. Hashem said, whoa, that's not how we talk. So now, when you talk, things aren't going to work out. And you'll see what happened. He spoke to the rock, and Hashem didn't put the right rock there. Why didn't he put the right rock in front of him? Because he didn't deserve it. Why not? Because he didn't speak nicely. He said, Shimu no amori, Hashem says, I'm not going to bring a bracha to your words now. And now when you speak, the water's not going to come from the rock, because the right rock's not going to be there. Because you didn't use your lashon, your tongue properly. And Mimele, that's why he didn't, that the rock, right rock didn't come. Afterwards, when Moshe decided to hit it, then Hashem put the right. Why? Because his actions were okay. His speech was the problem. Right? Moshe didn't do anything wrong. His speech was. So when it came to his speech, you speak wrong now. Your speech is not going to work. Then when Moshe tried to cite the head, he says, "Okay, your actions are okay," and therefore he brought the right rock in front of the stick, and the water came out. And therefore we said, so why should he be punished? He spoke to the rock. Yeah, I mean, it was. Why was he punished? Because he spoke to the rock, but it was only after first speaking incorrectly to the people, and that's why when he spoke to the rock, it didn't come out, and therefore. Say the first, it was a combined punishment. He ended up that he hit the rock, but that was only because he spoke to the rock. Why didn't it come out when he spoke to the rock? Because he spoke incorrectly originally by saying Shimuna Hamori. So that's our lesson, that we all want our words to, you know, hit home, to be successful, that our tefillahs should be accepted, etc. And we don't always know exactly what to say it in the right way, we want a chamor, what with the chamor, what to do with it, or whatever. Okay, we're not always so midayak with our lashon, and yet we hope, we would like, we saw in the other stories that Hashem should dilugo alayav, take these words that are not exactly necessarily the exact way to say it, but Hashem should say, but I'm going to make it turn into bracha anyways. We all want that, but like the Ben Yishchai said, the prerequisite of that is that we have to use our lashon properly. We're careful where we talk, how we speak about others, to others, not speak lashon hara, nivul peh, etc. We're careful with our lashon, then Hashem will accept whatever comes out of our mouth and turn it into bracha. And we should be zoicha that the words that we use should be turned into bracha, and our hope is it should turn into the ultimate bracha of bias Mashiach, Tzinkenu, Bimhir V'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.